Hey, Jacko, give us old Ferrara. Old Ferrara.
No, give us the troop ship just leaving Bombay.
What about you, Dig? Don't you want a song?
You fellas are all in the army, sounds like.
Well, you weren't?
No, nope, Air Force.
Oh, Blue Orchid, eh?
Yep, that's right, Kitty Hawks.
Yeah? Whereabouts?
Mumbai.
Mumbai, eh? Mumbai. I remember Mumbai. I remember the Blue Orchids were there, too. All right, you army galoots. This time we'll sing an Air Force song. Mumbai, eh? There were good men died there.
Citation. Presenting authentic stories of heroism and gallantry taken from the histories of war. The story of QX-1071, Corporal J.A. French, V.C. It was August 1942, and the time had come to blunt the Japanese sword that had murderously swept southward and was now buried deep in New Guinea. The time had come, and the place was Milne Bay.
Take it as well as they can hand it out. Here comes another!
The enemy swept south in strength to Milne Bay in an attempt to turn the right flank of the Allies as part of the advance on Port Moresby. But in the malarial swampland and the razor-sharp kunai grass that was Milne Bay, the Australians drove into the enemy, fighting mad, with rifles, grenades, mortars, bayonets, knives, and even fists. And above them was a new sound, the sweet sound of air support. To help halt the enemy, the Royal Australian Air Force, with Hudsons, Beaufighters, and Kitty Hawks, together with fortresses of the United States Air Force, bombed and low-strafed, supporting our men on the ground. It was an all-out battle for supremacy at Milne Bay. It was a battle fought in the air, on the sea, but the heaviest fighting of all was on the ground, across the angry ridges and along the hostile lowlands. The very spirit of that fighting was symbolized by a 28-year-old corporal of the 2nd 9th Battalion. He was a Queenslander, a hairdresser from Crow's Nest in Queensland, an Australian soldier who held a great depth of determination and courage beneath his quiet, smiling exterior. The symbol of Milne Bay for the soldiers who fought there was Corporal J.A. French. Our air forces pounded at the enemy from the low tropical sky. The enemy warships crept in by night and landed hit-and-run blows. Enemy tanks slithered along muddy tracks and spat viciously, then withdrew. But in the main, the enemy crouched waiting in the kunai and behind the swift, shallow rivers that ran to the sea. And the Australian infantrymen had to go in and drive him from his lair.
Someone's copping it back there, George.
I'm going to cop it. You right here, unless you keep your eyes skinned, pal.
Calm your shattered nerve ends, Georgie Porgy. Not a Jap within shooting distance.
Keep your mouth shut, Fred.
Relax. One Jap sentry doesn't make the Imperial Nippon Army.
Just remember, we're a mile or so from our own lines. Just remember that.
So, that's what we came to find out. To find out where in this muck heap they call Moon Bay, Tojo has decided to make his stand. Wait till I stick me hat on me rifle. Here. Ah, we found it. Let's get back and break the news.
Australian patrols probed until they made contact with the enemy who'd withdrawn from the airfield region. And having located the enemy at bay, the Australians prepared to strike in strength.
You go in here, Reg. You cross the river. One of our patrols says it's about 5 feet deep just there. That'll allow you to strike to the right of the Jap positions, cross the river, and you can move at him through the kunai grass and the scrub. Good cover. It's over your head. We'll go up astride the road. All right, now check your watches. 1510. In 5 minutes, we'll have a preliminary barrage of mortars and 25 pounders laid on. Well, time to get cracking. Then good luck.
So the Australians of the veteran 2nd 9th Battalion moved to the attack, not knowing the rendezvous they were about to keep with tragedy and with valor. They penetrated, on the one hand, up a track that led to the enemy positions, and on the other flank, they crossed the stream running swiftly towards the pale sea.
Oh, nice to hear those aircraft over now. To know they're ours. Keeps the Jap busy and leaves us here as quiet as on a Sunday school picnic.
You haven't been on some of the picnics I've been on.
What's that?
A bird. An itty-bitty bird flying away through the Kunai. Like I said, quiet here in this grass as on a Sunday school picnic. No one can see us.
We can't see nobody. Only a sea of grass standing above our heads.
Okay, the platoon's moving. Come on. And they're signaling to go quietly. Like I said, quiet.
What were you saying, Fred?
Keep down and stay quiet.
Only an isolated Jap that Captain Patterson bowled over. Come on, we're moving again.
Isolated Jap, you say? More like a Jap sentry. You can stand by to run up against their main posse any time now. That sentry was bait. One of their tricks to get us to open up and give away our movements. You're right. We'll strike their positions any time now, and then watch out.
And so the Australians came up against the enemy's main line of defense. And in the fierce fight that followed in that high grass and scrub, the Australians were beaten back from strong dug-in positions.
I told you, dug in like rabbits in a burrow. Got gun sights everywhere.
Yeah, this one's going to be tough.
Listen well, men. The Japs are well dug in here. No shortage of medium or light machine guns. Nor of rifle ammunition, for that matter, either. This is what I propose. Instead of going at them through the Kunai and scrub, we'll have a go at them across that stretch of open ground. We might find they haven't covered that field of fire quite so effectively. Let's go. And remember, we'll only finally get them out with a bayonet.
As the Australians attacked, they found their way barred by an extensive system of enemy machine gun posts. The enemy rose from their dug-in and fortified posts and mixed with the Queenslanders of the 2nd 9th in that clearing on Milne Bay, and heavy fighting developed on all sides. And nowhere was it heavier than where No. 7 Section, of which Corporal John Alexander French was commander, fought the enemy. The men of his section were held by fire from 3 well-sighted enemy machine gun posts, and Corporal French waved his men to take cover.
What's Corporal French think he's doing?
Easy enough to see. He's telling us to take cover.
Yeah, but what can he hope?
He's going to take him on his own. He's barmy. He's taking the whole lot on single-handed. There goes the grenade.
Watch it.
Look! Look! Wham! And again!
He's bringing it off, George.
One machine gun this guy high.
Another grenade.
Can't see with the smoke. How's he going?
Coming back. He's running back now. Four grenades.
Quick.
Came back for more grenades. Now he's blasting at that second Jap gun. The machine gun crew's blazing at him, and he's hurling grenades right at him. Got him! Put one in dead center. Oh, blew the nest apart.
I'll say he did.
Look at it smoking. How about the third machine gun still belling away? Why doesn't he get down?
Come back, Jack! Come back!
Well, 2 machine gun posts? That's enough.
Well, not for him, though. Not for him.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's taking his Tommy gun around now, and he's going after the third one.
He's walking right onto it.
Right onto it! Blasting at him with his Tommy gun at the hip.
Jeff's under cover.
He's walking right into their spine.
Yeah, he's going to do it, though. He's going to do it.
He's been hit! Oh, did you see, George?
Come on, Slagger.
But he's keeping on. He's still firing.
He did it!
Blasted it out. Knocked him off with his Tommy gun. Listen, Fred. Not a shot coming from the Japs.
No. Silenced.
Well, what are we waiting for? He's opened the way for the section. Come on, let's push on.
The attack was successful. The Australians, inspired by the example of their corporal, swept triumphantly over the enemy positions. And silence fell on that sector. And then the men of the section went back to congratulate their hero.
Oh, how was he? Three machine gun posts. Whoosh, and then bang, 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 bang. Togo finished.
The position was across here a bit. He was hit, probably taking a smoker.
What is it, Fred?
Here.
It's no good, Fred. Nothing we can do for him.
Killed every single one of the Japs. Every single one of them. And he kept killing even though he was dying himself.
Wouldn't stop firing until he stopped them. And he died on the lip of their foxhole. I'm taking my hat off to Frenchy.
Must have been some fella, that French.
Corporal French. Sure was.
Tell me this. Why did you connect Milne Bay with a raft?
Well, the men of his section found him there. Mission accomplished, like they say. He'd given his life for us. I remember the raft there for many reasons. Particularly because on that same day that Jack French won his Victoria Cross, some of our fellows found what was left of a Kitty Hawk and its pilot in the scrub. They found your squadron leader, Turnbull, the same day.
The citation that accompanied the award of the Victoria Cross to Corporal John Alexander French said, "By his cool courage and disregard for his own safety, he undoubtedly saved many casualties amongst members of his section and was greatly instrumental in allowing the attack to continue." Citation. These stories are authentic. The program is produced at AWA by Donald Crosby for Army Public Relations.